Recorded Books presents an unabridged recording of The Shark Mutiny by Patrick Robinson, narrated by George Guidel. This work is copyrighted 2001 by Patrick Robinson. This recording is copyrighted 2001 by Recorded Books. In 2007, the SEAL team on the USS Shark is at the center of the U.S. and Chinese clashes in the Indian Ocean. But when the SEALs are confronted with the death of one of their own, the unimaginable happens. The first mutiny in the history of the modern United States Navy. And now, the Shark Mutiny.
Prologue. Hunter Valley Thoroughbred Farms, Lexington, Kentucky, summer 1987. It was pretty damn hot for baseball. Only a light breeze ruffled the sweltering bluegrass paddocks in this big thoroughbred breeding farm along the old ironworks pike out near the village of Paris. And young Dan Headley couldn't hit Rick Hunter's fastball to save his life. "Easy, Ricky, take something off it. I can't hit that." But again and again the baseball came screaming in low and away and slammed into the base of the red barn wall behind the hitter. And the tall 16-year-old pitcher kept howling with laughter as his best buddy swung and missed yet again. "You gotta concentrate, Danny." "On what?" "The baseball, stupid." "How can I when I can't even see it?" "Nobody could see it. Pete Rose could have seen it," said Rick solemnly, referring to the former Cincinnati Reds legend. "Pete Rose could have seen a howitzer shell." "Okay, one more?" "Nah, I'm all done. Let's go back and get some lemonade. I'm sweating like a bull." Rick Hunter pulled off his glove, stuck the ball into the pocket of his jeans, and tied the sleeves of his warm-up jacket around his waist. He jumped over the post and rail fence into a wide paddock containing a half-dozen mares and foals. Dan Headley followed him, swinging the Louisville Slugger bat, looking over at the foals, at the Kentucky-bred baby racehorses, the best of whom may one day hear the thunder of the crowds at Belmont Park, Royal Ascot, Saratoga, and Longshaw, perhaps even Churchill Downs. "Still beats the hell out of me why you don't just stay here and get rich," said Dan. "Raising the yearlings, selling them for fortunes just like your daddy. Jeez, Rick, you got it all made for you right here." "Danny, we've been having this particular conversation for the biggest part of 3 years. And my answer ain't varied none. I just ain't interested. Besides, in my judgment, this bull market for thoroughbreds ain't here forever." "Well, it's been here for more than 10 years. Ain't showing no sign of flagging." "It'll collapse, old buddy. Bull market's always due in the end. And right then, there's going to be a whole lot of penniless old hard boots around here, guys who thought their good luck was some kind of birthright." "Yeah, but that ain't why you plan to leave. You're leaving because it bores you. Even with all that money swilling around. But why the hell you want to be an officer in the U.S. Navy instead of riding around here like some goddamn czar, master of the Hunter Valley, right here in the thoroughbred breeding capital of the world? Well, like I said, sure beats the hell out of me." "Well, you're planning to leave with me, right?" "Sure I am, Ricky, but Christ, my daddy's just a stud groom here. Your old man owns a whole place. And you don't even have any brothers and sisters. It's all going to be yours, all 2,000 acres of it, and all them goddamn blue-chip brood mares." "Come on, Danny, you understand the horse-breeding business better than I do. You could make a real go of it yourself if you wanted. Your daddy's got a couple of mares of his own. Everyone has to start somewhere. Ricky, I couldn't save enough money for a place like this in 1,000 years. I'd just end up another stud groom. Anyone could see why I'd rather be Captain Dan Headley, commanding officer of a U.S. Navy battlecruiser, than Danny Headley, stallion man at the Hunter Valley." "Raising horses bores you too, don't it?" said Rick, grinning, in the sure knowledge that he had a soulmate. "Some, but I just don't have the advantages. Wouldn't change nothing in my opinion. You just want adventure, I guess like me. Fast horses take too long to raise. We just ain't got the time, right?" Dan grinned. He was much shorter than the towering Rick Hunter, and he had to walk about half a stride faster to lay up with his lifelong friend. They moved steadily across the magnificent grassland, walking on a slight uphill gradient, watching the foals edging toward them, eager, curious, the mares moving at a much slower pace behind. "Who's that chestnut filly by?" "Which one, Danny? The one in front with the white star?" "Yeah, she's going to have a backside like a barmaid when she grows up." "Guess she could have a motor. She's by..."
Sample complete. Ready to continue?